Hello, my name is Mahendra Gupte. Today I will be talking to you about legal aspects in supply chain management. Before we get into supply chain management, let us understand what is legal aspects and why is it necessary for all of us in our daily lives. All of us, most of us, at some point of time have driven a car or a two-wheeler. Well, we need to follow certain rules and regulations that have been set by certain authorities for benefit for all of us. Now, this is what exactly we are talking about as the legal aspects in supply chain management. Supply chain management has a lot of aspects that we need to look at. Even before we get into supply chain management, or before you get into a role of a supply chain manager, you have got employed, right? At the time of employment, you signed a contract. What is that contract? That contract is a legal document between you and the company. Although it was made by the company, but when you signed that contract, you agreed to the terms and conditions and the contents of that contract. Now, this contract, we'll come to the actual importance of a contract and signing it, but this contract per se is a legal document and it will stand in court for whatever reasons, hopefully not for the bad ones. Then, once we have understood what is a legal contract and why is it necessary, let's get into the supply chain management as a subject. Supply chain management, as you all are aware, entails a lot of stakeholders. There are suppliers, there are the buyers, the transporters, the people at the warehouse, and of course, the manufacturing. This is the inward supply chain. And then when we look at the internal, there will be people at the production shop floor who will need material, who will interact with the warehousing, and then move that material for processing. Once processing is completed, the finished goods again come back to the warehouse. Once they are back in the warehouse, they need to be packed and kept ready for distribution. And again, now the transporter and the distribution and the further chain of distribution comes into picture. So as you see, there are so many stakeholders, or rather partners, in the supply chain. So these supply chain partners need to be bound legally, or rather officially, to do their jobs on time and in the way that the company expected. Just to go through what we have on the screen, supply chain management entails overseeing the flow of goods and services from origin to consumption. This is what we just covered, right from suppliers to the customer, including the movement and storage of raw materials, work in process inventory, and finished goods. This happens inside the company. It also covers order fulfillment with supply of finished goods from manufacturers to warehouses and end consumers. So the distribution network that we talked of after the materials are ready at the warehouse plays an important role. In fact, that is the actual sale that happens for the company, and the company earns their income. An increasing number of business associates adds complexity to supply chain. Of course, what we just saw, from suppliers to the inwarding transporters to the company, and then again the outward transporters and the distribution network. Let's define supply chain management for our subject. Supply chain management streamlines activities, reduces waste, maximizes customer value, and enhances competitiveness. We all know this definition, but then let's look at what are we talking about. Maximizes customer value. How do you maximize customer value? To ensure that the customer gets what he wants, that at the time that he wants it and in the exact quantity that he wants it. It centralizes the flow of goods, covering all processes from raw materials to final products. We just saw in our earlier example, we are looking at the entire supply chain right from the location, or rather the identification of a raw material supplier, to the final product reaching the customer. Effective supply chain management cuts costs and accelerates product delivery, trying to gain customer satisfaction. A company, for its own benefits, may have different types of methods that they would employ for the transportation of inwarding the raw materials or the parts and components from different suppliers. That you must have learnt already, there are various ways and means of collecting materials from the transporters, from the suppliers, through the transporters for the company. This reduces the number of stakeholders or the number of transporters that get involved, because there is one transporter or maybe a few transporters employed by the company to collect goods for their own internal delivery. Definition again, supply chain management prevents recalls, lawsuits, and bad publicity. Can you imagine a situation where a company is doing very well, one of the famous brands, and then suddenly there is a recall, and that recall gets advertised? Now, one positive aspect in this is that the company has initiated a recall because something went wrong in the first place. So it is more a damage control than anything else. In this situation, what actual supply chain management, how does it help us? It helps us to prevent such recalls and lawsuits and the bad publicity that accompanies it. How do we do that? If you have the quality measures as part of the supply chain management and they are in place, you will not have recalls, you will not have bad products moving out of your company. What are the key phases in supply chain management? The planning. Most important, you need to plan everything that is ever going to happen in the company. And in fact, you need to have maybe a backup plan also. Sourcing. The supplier plays a major role in what he sends to you and how he sends it to you and the quality that comes with that material. Sourcing becomes critical because you need to have suppliers who are interested not only in their own business but also interested in your business, because only then will they be working as partners, not as just a supplier and a vendor relationship. Sourcing in the long run has to be beyond a mere sales and buyer relationship. Production, that is the backbone of the entire business. The business exists because somebody has an idea and has the capability, has also established the process to manufacture something. That person, his idea is adding value to this world and to the hundreds of customers that use the product. So production becomes the most important value addition aspect of the supply chain. Distribution, well, you have a finished goods, and if you don't distribute it, what use is that product for the company? Unless there is sales that takes place, and once the sale has been confirmed as the customer has received a product, that means your distribution network and your distribution supply chain has been successful. And of course, what did COVID and e-commerce teach us? Returns. Returns in today's world is absolutely a necessity for every business. When you look at ordering something on e-commerce, what is your first aspect? You want to know whether the product that I select can be returned or replaced if I don't like it. Well, there could be situations where they will only offer you a replacement. What do you do in that situation? If you are not sure of the product, or rather you are buying that brand for the first time, you will look for another website, another e-commerce platform to see if there is somebody else who is offering you a similar product and who also accepts returns. The returns in terms of the company may not be always bad products. They could be products which the customer doesn't like or it doesn't meet his expectations. Those expectations may be high, low, or maybe just different. So returns are not always bad. But it is necessary for a company to offer the return policy, because customers want to be secure that in case if something doesn't work out, they are able to return it. What is the focus of supply chain management? The focus, of course, in all these so many distributions, transportations, material handling, is cost control and supply stability. We all know that after COVID, many automobile companies reduced their production figures. Now, what was the reason? Not because people were not available, not because infrastructure was not in place or they had to restart the machines after a long time. No, that was not the case. The case was there was a shortage of computer chips that go into the manufacture of a simple car. So these computer chips were in short supply because they were focused, or rather the suppliers were focused only in China, and China was still going through a lot many more waves of COVID than the rest of the world. As a result, production from these companies was very low, and there was a general shortage of computer chips for the automobile industry. So in short, their supply has to be stable. Let's look at how did this supply chain come into being. Let's look at the evolution of the supply chain. It goes back to way before 1900s, where before the Industrial Revolution. Of course, before the Industrial Revolution, trade was also carried out, and that was part of supply chain. But we didn't know that as supply chain in those days. That time, the trade was local, and it happened between villages or maybe smaller towns close to each other, because transport was all by foot. The Industrial Revolution improved rail transport, speeding goods movement, but limited supply chains to countries which were adjoining. Maritime trade was inefficient due to poor labor-intensive loading and unloading of loose goods. Can you imagine a trade or business or material movement happening today without transportation or without the container as a means of transportation? The late 1900s, internal combustion engines were made, and you know the automobile was invented. Trucks enabled faster road transport, and what started in the late 1900s continues to be the backbone of supply chain management even today. Even today, the road transport is the preferred method of transport, mode of transport for goods across the world. 1920s, of course, first we had the steam engine, which was fired by a fire, and then a petrol engine was made, which got into the automobiles. 1920s saw the diesel engines, just to bring in affordability and use the byproduct that was refined when crude oil was made. Diesel engines and early forklifts were developed in the 1920s, and 1925, some kind of systemized palleting came into place because the warehouses now had pallets for efficient and ease of handling. Now we come to the focus of the World War. The World War II, efficient supply chains were vital for production and delivery of military supplies. And most important of production and delivery of military supplies was the transportation of troops. In the 1940s, pallet handling and storage systems were developed. Now, this was a breakthrough in terms of using vertical space in warehouses. Otherwise, material was only stored across on the land, which means that you had the entire shed upwards completely vacant. Of course, what also improved was the loading and unloading, because now forklifts were being used to improve the loading and delivery, and delivery processes also started improving. 1950s, first shipping containers were invented. Thank God for 1956, where one American gentleman realized that he can transport material in lots, and he first experimented with an old naval ship to transport goods from one port to the other through containers. The containers have never been the same as they started from day one. Today, containers are standardized for intermodal transport. What does intermodal transport mean? Intermodal transport is nothing else but you change the mode of transport, but the container still remains the same. Otherwise, you would have to destuff the container. That means open it, remove all the goods, put it into another container or for another mode of transport, and then start the journey again. So this avoids all this removal of material from one container and transporting it to another by using a container which can fit from the ship to a truck back to a truck trailer and also to a rail wagon. Containerization made global trade cheaper and more efficient. The biggest saving here was the time required to load a ship and to unload it against with loose cargo against containers. In the 1983, supply chain management was coined. The term was coined first and was supported by computers and which revolutionized the supply chain. In India, the term supply chain management was known only as late as 1992-93. Developments, air freight was optimized. Air freight was also being used for transportation of goods by 1983-84. Distribution networks and enterprise resource planning systems came into being. Today, what we understand as MRP, capacity requirement planning, and others all were formed. MIT created RFID tags for electronic tracking goods and shipments. This was a revolution that had just started with supply chain management. Today, what is the situation? Asian manufacturers are key suppliers and exporters. The world has accepted. We all know the famous sweatshirt incident of China, where you have people working in the smallest of rooms and producing number of t-shirts per day. Now, this is all being consumed by Europe and USA and all the other developed countries, where producing that same t-shirt would cost them maybe three or four times the amount that it costs in China. Supply chains are becoming data-driven and collaborative and creating value for the stakeholders. Why so? One is data-driven. Of course, if you do not have data on when your shipment has left, where is it, and when can it reach you, you would have lost business or you would not be able to commit deliveries to your customers. Collaborative, because each stakeholder shares information and gives his inputs as to how things can improve for the end customer. Artificial intelligence and machine learning are increasingly used in supply chains at various stages. We all know artificial intelligence is being used extensively for demand forecasting, where because of the sheer method that artificial intelligence works in, gives you inputs and conditions that were prevailed when some sale was either high or sale was either low. Of course, the analyst there needs to interpret the data correctly and the conditions offered by artificial intelligence. Machine learning has helped us track materials not only on the way when they are outside, but also inside the warehouses. Emphasis on ethical sourcing regarding environmental and labor rights. Today, a lot many customers are more aware of environmental conditions and environmental requirements, and they demand, or rather they support, companies who are environmentally friendly. And that is the reason you will see that there are a lot many packagings that we see today, either made from recycled waste or containers which are made from recycled plastics. Of course, labor rights. Today, we have come a long, long way, even in India and the world over, where labor rights are recognized and accepted and are being supported. Now, let's look at what are the legalities of supply chain management. Purchasing is a key supply chain management activity. We all know that. Otherwise, how do you get material from a supplier? Now, these supplies could be local or could be international. When they are local, they need to be supported by the laws of the country that the customer and the company are, the supplier and the company are. And when they are international purchases, compliance to laws of both the countries is important. Or Even the overseas purchase, you also need to comply with the currency regulations that may be in place for both the countries. Multiple acts and laws apply to normal purchase transactions. Let's look at how it works. ABC places an order on XYZ. In the Indian Contract Act, between order between ABC and XYZ is a binding contract to be honored by both. We understood this right in the beginning. When you get employed, there's a contract, and there's a contract that has to be honored by you as an employee as well as the employer. Same is the case here. Sales of Goods Act, conditions of sale apply to XYZ transactions. We understand here that XYZ is the seller. So the Sales of Goods Act will apply to his transaction more because he is the seller. The Indian Negotiable Instruments Act, the bill of exchange on ABC discounted by XYZ is governed by this act. Companies Act, ABC as a public limited company must comply with relevant provisions. So they need to be sure that their supplier is also a legal entity and that he is complying to all the rules and regulations of the country that he works in. Indian Partnership Act, XYZ, a partnership firm, must adhere to applicable conditions. What does this mean? This means that the partnership company, irrespective of how many partners there may be, the rules and regulations set for a partnership firm under the Indian Partnership Act have to be complied with. Just to give you an example, if one of the partners is a signatory, but he is absent, he needs to have given a power of attorney to somebody else to sign on his behalf, either another partner or maybe somebody at a little junior level who looks after the business. Law of insurance. Provisions must cover the fragile and sensitive nature of the material against damages and theft, etc. The law of insurance says that unless you insure goods, you are taking a risk. A risk that could actually damage not only the reputation of your company, but the brand image as well. Why do you say that? Why do we say this? The reason is, let's say the goods arrive on time, absolutely on time, on dot, but the consignment more than 50% is damaged. Now, nobody ships consignments just for stock. They are always in anticipation of orders or maybe orders that have already been booked. In such a situation, when you don't adhere to your commitments to customers, the customers start suspecting your supply chain and start even suspecting your supplies. To gain that confidence, we have to ensure that not only are the damages reduced, but they are recoverable at least in terms of cost, because otherwise the damage to the company would be spoiling of the brand reputation as well as the image in the company, in the world, as well as financial losses due to damages of the consignments. Carriers Act applies as material is transported by road through a public carrier. Now, the Carriers Act understands, or rather considers, a public carrier as any transporter who, as a business, transports goods, people, or cargo from one place to another for a certain fee. Now, this fee has to be paid to the transporter, and then he has to comply to whatever is mentioned under the Carriers Act. Goods and Services Act, GST applies for interstate transport, and the tax amount depends on the commodity as per the latest GST council meetings. We have seen that GST, which was introduced sometime in 2017-2018, has still taking time for it to stabilize. The reason being that the government is receptive to feedback that it is receiving from the industry as well as from consumers' bodies on the percentage of taxes that are to be used for different commodities. How does the material actually flow in a manufacturing company? You have suppliers who on the demand of the manufacturers will supply raw materials or components or parts, and then the manufacturers actually process whatever is required to assemble those parts or components along with what they have manufactured, and then send those materials to warehouses and distribution centers. Once they reach the distribution centers, it is the distributor who starts pulling them from there and delivering them to the dealers or to the retail shops, finally reaching the end consumer. What is the importance of the legal aspects in supply chain management? Need to be understood. There are many laws which are to be studied, followed, and considered before initiating any transaction of purchase or services in supply chain management. Now, you cannot keep running to the legal team and keep asking them every aspect of what is legally correct and what is legally wrong. And that is the reason that we are looking at the legal aspects in the supply chain management. All laws must be applicable within the framework of the basic law of the land. If you go by sheer intuitive instinct, we need to be ethical and we need to understand and realize what is right, what is wrong. If we remember these two aspects of being ethical and what is right and what is wrong, I don't think there is much to be really understood in terms of legal aspects. But never the same, we need to understand what are the actual laws that could put ourselves as well as the company at stake. For global transactions, the latest laws applicable to the countries of trade as well as the treaties and acts between the two countries are to be strictly followed. Now, one would ask question, why do they have treaties and acts after a law has been made? The reason being that the law is much more universal, and these treaties and acts between the two countries are a little more customized for trade between the said two countries. The laws and regulations keep changing at regular as well as at specific intervals. Well, we need to progress, and continuous improvement is the only way to progress. So there will be changes in the rules and regulations of the laws that have been set, and those need to be understood. There are few laws which have not undergone any major changes for decades. Example, the Contract Act, the Partnership Act. On the other hand, some laws are amended very frequently by notifications or by circulars. The interpretation of a law may change depending on the judicial pronouncements. What does this mean? This means that it is entirely left to the judge or the presiding advocates who are fighting a case or representing their clients in court. The judge, when it is brought to his notice that there are certain things which are right, which are wrong, he would go back to understanding what the law says or a similar case and then give his announcement in terms of the judicial decision. This is judicial pronouncement. This decision taken by him for one case then becomes the standing point or the base reference point for all other cases of similar nature. Sometimes some laws are amended with retrospective effect. So the latest and updated knowledge of the applicable laws and regulations is a must. Many a times, due to certain issues which go through either getting a law passed through Parliament or through the Houses of Parliament, it could get delayed. Most cases, it doesn't happen that the law would go backwards, but there have been cases where certain rules, regulations, especially collection of fines or collection of certain guarantees have been in retrospective effect. What is supply chain management finally? The management of the flow of goods and services and includes all processes that transform raw materials into final products and delivery to the customer. Thank you.